Hello, world, and welcome to the PocketGamer.biz podcast. Brian, my co-host Brian Baglow, he isn't here with me today. I am back from a trip, and everyone in the team at Pocket Gamer, well, wheels up for another because we are gearing up for a mega show in MENA, one of our most important, and after a triumphant year in 2023, last year, welcoming over 1,200 guests and returning again is the Game Expo Summit powered by PGC Connects coming to Dubai on May 1st and 2nd. And of course, huge event. It's alongside the Dubai Esports and Games Festival at the Dubai World Trade Center. And 100 plus renowned games industry speakers, what you've come to expect from Pocket Gamer over the years, who will deliver insightful talks, panels, you name it, that's what we do. And in advance of that, well, we welcome one of those headline speakers to the show today to reflect on opportunities in the region because she knows them firsthand. She'll also update us on her own work in the industry as a whole. Kadri Harma, co-founder of Game Founders, an investment fund and mentoring program, venture partner at Sisu Game Ventures, and can I say a force in the industry. Welcome to the show today. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, Peggy.
It's great to have you. And of course, you aren't just here on the show. You're back again at Dubai. You're no stranger to the region by any measure. And you are there. You're a veteran. You have been there on the ground. What are you looking forward to personally, even professionally, when you touch down?
Yeah, so I had the pleasure of living and working in the region for the past 2 years in Saudi Arabia. So for people who maybe don't know, I was running one of the Savvy Group companies. And also had the chance to look at other countries and also other regions specifically for what is happening in the game space. And I'm very happy to go back again. I've obviously been back in the meantime as well, because I still feel like I did before, that everything is still happening, everything is evolving, a lot of new programs, a lot of new studios, a lot of new people looking at the region. So, I mean, of course, personally, very, very cool to just catch up with people over a few months. But I think also professionally, very interesting to see what is happening over there.
Well, it is on the move. And your panel pretty much sums that up as well. MENA's rising star. How can the region compete on the global stage? What are you going to be sharing? What are you excited to discuss?
Well, I mean, obviously, I've always been a believer in the region, which is also one of the reasons why I went there and tried to support and help the game studios in the region to get their opportunities that they deserve. I mean, on one side, it obviously is a big region in terms of players, just the pure amount of people compares to Europe, but also the fact that they do monetize better. And it is easier at one point to get the benefits of the market. But at the same time, I mean, also from the industry perspective, obviously a lot of talent there in terms of new game studios, in terms of new ventures or whatever people might be interested in. So I think both these sides are very interesting. But still, I feel what started a few years ago is ramping up nicely. But I mean, nobody is there in a year or so. So it will still take a little bit more time. And I mean, the unfortunate political turmoils happening in the region right now are not really helping it. But I'm really hoping that everybody still keeps their eye on the prize and looks at it as a market that has really great potential.
You said something there I just want to follow up on in a moment. You said also they are very good at monetizing as well. So we know the numbers are there, the players, the studios, the monetization strategy. I'm intrigued. Is that because it is very much focused on just building players and building volume, or is there something else about that strategy that you find very successful, attractive?
I think it was actually some kind of Pocket Gamer survey that I read. I cannot pinpoint it right now, but it actually was comparing the average revenue per user in different regions. And this is where I think actually Dubai was the first one. and followed by others in the region, but it was significantly higher than what you would get from Europe or North America that you have kind of like traditionally tried to monetize as opposed to maybe other regions where you go more for just the volume of players. So in that sense, it is possible. And it's also, I feel that it's a little bit underserved in a way that people don't really go out of their way to localize for it. So if you do localize for it, the players are thankful and the players are thankful with their wallets. So they are very much okay with spending in some cases where, let's say, the Western European players would not. And I think that is something that is still underused, I would say.
Yeah, I've seen similar research to that also from Sensor Tower, others, and very true, very, very true, speaking with developers there who have localized their games. Let's talk about you a little bit more. You know, you have Game Founders, where you're a co-founder. Then you're at Sisu Game Ventures, which we have to learn more about. Now, I know you personally, so I know that wherever you go in the world, it's all about conceptualizing, launching startup ecosystems and initiatives. What's your current focus and how do those all fit together?
So, I mean, my journey with Game Founders, it's now, is it 12 years, 13 years? So, yes. So quite a long time, but overall, so it is a accelerator that also has an investment fund. So we have already now worked in three different regions. So we've done Europe. We've been in Estonia and Europe. Then we were in Malaysia, Southeast Asia, and then the most recent 2 years were spent in Saudi Arabia and MENA. So so the idea is really to empower the new and up and coming regions. And that is also, you know, one of the reasons why I know maybe a little bit more about this region. But looking forward, I mean, I think that there are still so many places, you know, that people say that is the next one. We'll see what actually ends up being the next one. But I mean, definitely South America is very interesting. Definitely there are regions in Africa that are very interesting. India is definitely very interesting. So I think that there's a lot of places that can still benefit from having their ecosystem get a little boost, a little connection to the global games industry, and just have some more people involved in thinking about how to best help and support the game studios.
Now, you have a unique perspective on MENA because, as you said yourself, you've been there, you were on the ground, you served as CEO of 966, which was part of the Savvy Gaming Group ecosystem company. So you saw it then, you were very impressed. What impressed you most about the region during that time, and how does that compare to what your sense is now?
I think what was for me very unique on a global scale was that, I mean, specifically, so I was in Saudi, so I'm mainly talking about Saudi, but I actually think that it applies for the whole region. What I was impressed with was that the government had a vision to build up an industry, one sector, almost out of scratch, and really, you know, really put muscle to it. So there was not really only one ministry or like one organization or one little agency doing something. It was really full on the whole country and like almost every single individual in the whole governmental apparatus, which is obviously huge. We're really thinking about like, how can we have an impact? How can we build this industry? And I mean, firsthand, I saw it, of course, in Saudi, but now, I mean, obviously, we're seeing it in Jordan, even before Saudi started. We are now seeing it in Dubai, in multiple free zones. We are also seeing it in Abu Dhabi. So I think what is really unique is the government's sort of like widespread support that hasn't really happened in any of the countries before, because the games industry has sort of organically developed. But it's like right now it's almost like it's almost like surgically put it there and developed, which is a very cool way to build an economy.
Yeah, that was Vision 2030, and that enthusiasm, what I'm hearing from you, is still very strong and actually contagious. It has spread throughout the region. And it's great to see that resolve. I mean, when Vision 2030, when that came out and we understood the amount of effort and above all the amount of money that was going to be putting toward this, then you're saying to yourself, this is going to happen. And there has been a lot of excitement about local development, talent sprouting up in the area, exponential growth of players as well. Last count from Pocket Gamer, 380 million players. Time they spend in games, off the charts. So this is very exciting because we write about it, of course. That's exciting for us. But what grabs the attention of the investor community? That's what you represent. What are you hearing?
So my other job that didn't really mention a lot about is Insitu Game Ventures. So it's a pre-seed and seed stage fund that only invests in game companies. We do it globally, but so far mainly in Europe, Nordics, also looking at other regions. Unfortunately, nothing from MENA yet, which brings me to the issue. I mean, you can't really build talent on a large scale within a few years. In a few years, you can give them knowledge, but you can't really give them experience. So in that sense, I think this is what the investors are sort of looking for, is when is going to be the tipping point that the locals can be, you know, right now they're mainly, let's say, juniors. Of course, there are seniors. I don't want to, you know, take away anybody's credit. But let's say on a scale, they're still mainly junior level. And I think that we're waiting until that sort of tips, and that we have more more local senior talent, that we have more local founders, that we have a lot more coming out of there. And I mean, effort is being made absolutely over there. I mean, for instance, in Saudi specifically, again, I know more of, for instance, Sandsoft has their internship program run for multiple years already. They're hiring people from it. They are now investing as well. Same for Steer Studios inside of Savvy as well. They have a very good internship program. So everybody is rooting for it. Also, the Ministry of Communication and IT in Saudi has different programs running, another accelerator coming. So all of these things, I think, are definitely impacting it. And the universities are working very well. And NEOM as well is putting together their own programs. So all of this is happening. But I mean, just, you know, common sense that it will take a few years. And I think that's what everybody is really waiting for.
I mean, you did a fantastic research project while you were there that I read, wrote about, and was one of the best, because you didn't just look at the market conditions and the numbers. Yes, we know about the players, we know about the hours spent in games, but you also looked where studios needed the most support. Again, this is Saudi Arabia, but it speaks for the region as well, right?
I think so.
And it was like, there are startups, they're significant, they're growing, but there was a gap. There was a gap because although they were motivated, they lacked, for example, marketing, business skills, you know, just what it needs to really move a startup or a studio to the next level. What is your feeling now? I mean, we talk about the progress, but in specific, these skills, these are so important, particularly to prove a point to an investor, to make a case, to make a pitch. And you've actually done talks that were very well received for Pocket Gamer about exactly that, you know, what to put in a deck, where to be transparent, what people want to understand. What is your feeling about the potential for this level of talent? Are you seeing something that makes you say, yeah, all good, on the right track, or no, definitely more skills needed, and maybe more effort from incubators and others out there in the industry?
Yeah, definitely. That was a huge piece of research that I think hasn't really been repeated again. So we don't really know exactly what is happening. And shout out to Nasser, who actually did the bulk of the work. So I think what you described is not somehow characteristic to the region. I think it's characteristic anywhere. If you look at any indies or any young studios, their first concern is always their product. Like, you know, I want to build something that I want to play, or like that I still saw something and I can do it better. So all of the attention is there. So I wouldn't really single out, you know, MENA young studios and say that they have this. I think everybody has this. Everybody's in love with their product and don't really think about the business, don't really think about marketing. And I mean, I would even say to some extent don't understand the difference between publisher and investor money, because publishers do look at your game and they do care more about this, but investors rather look at your studio, they look at long term, they look at what you are building in perpetuity, what's your vision. So I think that this is very common to all the studios that we are working, both in Game Founders as well as in Sisu with. But I think, you know, all of the programs that I mentioned as well in Saudi, but as well in Dubai and in Abu Dhabi, they're all working on it. But it just takes time. It just takes experience. But fortunately, there are also investors from the region that are more, let's say, daily available to these young studios to pitch to talk to get feedback about. So for instance, Sharuk Partners in Dubai is being a very active in the field, and also, let's say, educating other investors, but also working a lot with young studios. And this is how it all starts. Like, that's why it's called an ecosystem, right? You can't just do one thing. You have to have like everything move up at the same time for it to have an actual effect.
Is there any part of that ecosystem, looking at it from your perspective, where there is significant work to be done that maybe hasn't been the top of the agenda, but maybe is moving up there? Because as the ecosystem develops, so do the priorities, so do the areas that you really need to address. Where's the most work that needs to be done, Kadri?
Honestly, in terms of MENA, I would love to see a few more strong publishers pop up, because I mean, we are saying, you know, let's capture the potential of the players, but I don't see anybody really kind of saying that, you know, this is my space, this is what I'm doing, and I'm the number one there. Of course, there are, like, you know, there are smaller ones, there are bigger ones that are looking at the market, but there isn't really I would love to see like two or three strong ones that are doing something, and that would really benefit the market in a sense that people would have more of case studies. I would say that, you know, this is a case study of, you know, we localized, we used this publisher, and now we are making so much more revenue, which would also encourage other studios to look at the region and go there more, because definitely the potential is there. So this is definitely one thing that I would want to see. And second thing, I mean, kind of similar, but investment. So there is a lot of funding available throughout the region, but it isn't necessarily strategic funding at this point. So they don't necessarily understand the industry enough to be smart money for their investments. So in that sense, I would like to see that kind of education continue, and more, let's say, if there would be like a game fund happening there, or even just more LPs to global game funds like Sisu or any other coming from the region, so that they would get more experience, they would get more exposure, and then they would also be able to trickle that down into the region.
I hear what you're saying, Kadri. Just a little bit of a, you know, borrow a page from Finland, you know, understand what games companies can do to a region.
But we have to say, like, Finland started it in, like, I don't know, like 1980s or like almost in the Stone Age. So it has taken them as well some time. But definitely, I think that this is also one of the reasons why I was working in Saudi. We actually did a full governmental study trip to Finland, and we went to all the different agencies and ministries, and we asked them, like, what did you do? What worked? What didn't work? How can we do? And I think that there are a lot of good connections made there. So definitely, I think one of the good things about the industry is it's just so open, and people are willing to share and support. And yeah, these connections we have definitely made. So you really got that one.
What can we expect from you, the one, Kadri? What can we expect from you next? Maybe lifting the lid on a little bit of that knowledge that you have from Finland for everyone. But other than that, you have so much that you are involved in, so much change you can affect. What are you excited about doing next?
I mean, for me, my whole career in the industry has really been about supporting studios. So mainly through investment, mainly through acceleration and just equity funding. But I think overall, like, being able to put together these systems and to support whole ecosystems is really something that makes me excited, because obviously the impact is larger than just the 10 studios that you're working with, then you can have an impact on a full region. So I think, as I mentioned before, I mean, unfortunately, I'm not able to mention any names, but we are looking at several new regions where it would make sense to start with Game Founders and have a bit of a impact. But I mean, obviously, also at this time of kind of everything going on in the world, we're also looking into, are there ways that we can support the studios and the founders that are in positions that maybe are a little bit disrupted right now and they can't have their full potential? You will be the first to know when something gets turns into reality then.
Excellent, Kadri. I will take you up on that. And of course, every show, we do the same ending. It's just a tradition. You know how it is. Brian isn't here to ask the questions and really weigh in on it, but I'll do it in his name. Your favorite game you're currently playing and your favorite game of all time.
The game, if you can't even call it game, that I'm playing the most right now is actually language learning, because I have been learning Arabic as well as Spanish and actually pretty well. So this is something that I spend the most time on. If you ask like what am I playing the most, but I mean traditionally I have always been a sucker for kind of the older like something that I almost like grew up with is Mario. So that was my favorite game for years, and like I feel that sort of like got me in there. So I out of all time, I would say that.
And I hear you, because there's a lot of gamification in language learning. And I know a couple of people on the show have also been seeing it the same way. And they have a great way of sort of making that loop. I mean, those notifications, everything keeps you, it's habit forming. That's the whole idea. I mean, it's great mechanics. A lot we can learn from that. And loads we can learn from you, Kadri. I almost hate to let you go. Where can people keep track of you? Is it LinkedIn is the best?
I think LinkedIn is the easiest. Yes, so I'll try to become a little bit more open about things that we are doing as well. But there's a lot of different content as well on Sisu and on Game Founders that you guys can follow, and then you know wait for the new announcements.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for at Pocket Gamer. We'll be writing about it. We'll be watching you. And again, as always, Kadri, thanks for supporting our events and being such a great speaker. Great to have you. And yeah, we will be in touch. Thanks again for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me. And I will see everybody in Dubai on May 1 and 2 then.
This show is all about how to do your job better, how to make an amazing game, how to market it. And you have a say. So if you have a story or know someone we need to shine a light on, then we would love to hear from you.
We want to hear from you. We want to reflect the reality of the mobile games market in all its wonderful complexity and strangeness. So if you have any suggestions for us, if you have any feedback for us, you can always get in touch. You can email us at podcast@pocketgamer.biz. You can find us on Twitter @PGBiz, and you can reach out to us through the pocketgamer.biz website. If you're interested in listening to all of our podcasts, you can find them at pocketgamer.biz/podcast, and we would love to hear your thoughts on future shows.
And we've got you covered on all the major platforms, so subscribe to the audio podcast, as Brian said. Look for us on YouTube. If you want to read it, hey, you can do that too, because we have a companion post for you as well on the pocketgamer.biz website.
Tune in again for the next edition of the pocketgamer.biz podcast, and we look forward to speaking to you in the near future.